Good evening, Trevor. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. And how are you?
Good evening, Sue. I'm very well indeed. The start of the season has started again.
Well, the weather has been very, very odd. I mean, these last week when the weather was so gorgeous and had a lovely array of daffodils and primroses and pruners, absolutely gorgeous, and now freezing cold.
Indeed so. In fact, it's only been the last couple of days that we've got into the cold weather again, whereas it's really been quite good at the beginning. Well, not at the beginning of the month, but certainly from mid-March through to the last couple of days, it's been exceptionally warm. So happy gardening.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, then. So you're now going to discuss what you did from the tips from last month. So off you go, Trevor.
Okay, Sue. We will go through actually what I'd done in March, which is always a good way to start. As I said, it was cold and wet at the beginning, so little was done. Well, not on the outside, but certainly on the inside, but relatively warm and dry from mid-March. Warm days, but I'm afraid there was cold nights. So what did I actually get up to? All over the place. I sowed more tomatoes, a variety called Garden's Delight, undercover in the conservatory. And I filled a large pot, a 15-inch pot with compost, put it into the greenhouse where I'd been growing some sweet peas, and they were ready to go into this big pot. And I've constructed a little wigwam because they were ready to go into something larger, but it was no good putting them outside because they are not frost hardy. And they've taken to it and adapted to it very well. So we'll see how that goes. Rose bushes, I completed the last third of my pruning of these bushes. I started the first third in November, did a little bit in February, and I now have completed the last third. It gives them a little bit more oomph and they don't get so spindly. And always try to ensure that I have outward cut them at a slope so that it's outward growing, and also to cut it above a bud. I'd sowed some summer cabbages in modules in the greenhouse, and what I did was they're quite large modules, so I was able to put four seeds to each compartment. Now, they will thrive in the conservatory. The germination will be quite quick, and in fact, they have come through. And once they get to a certain height or show a couple of leaves, I will transfer them into a larger pot altogether until such times as they will have five or six leaves, true leaves, and then they will be able to be planted out into the main garden, but that is not as yet. I sowed my first tray of marigolds, African orange, into trays and put those into the propagator. I did another tray as well, and as an experiment, I put that into a freezer bag and put that on a gravel tray in the conservatory. I just want to see which takes first and which is more promising. Hopefully, they'll both be very, very similar. Now, I grow African orange because they're a bigger flower head than the French equivalent. And I sowed in small pots, save seeds from my harvest last year of red hollyhocks, lupin, foxgloves, nasturtium, and cosmos. That all sounds a bit of a mouthful, but they've got two chances of coming up. I hasten to add, they weren't all in the same pot. But they have gone in either the conservatory or in the greenhouse. Certainly, I put the hollyhocks in the greenhouse. I haven't got a heated greenhouse. I can't afford to have a heated greenhouse, and I really don't want one. So, but it is certainly a few degrees warmer in there than it is outside. So we'll see how they come along. In fact, the hollyhocks have come up pretty well at the moment, and they were actually transferred into bigger pots. In the middle of the month, I planted out my first early potatoes. I put my first earlies in three or maybe four, I can't remember now, large containers, big flowering containers, two thirds filled with compost. And then I rake in a fertilizer and then plant about four tubers, cover, and as soon as the foliage will appear, then I will cover with more compost. And you keep doing that until you're near the top. And the other benefit of doing that is that if there is a frost and you are showing a little bit of foliage, then just get some compost and put over the top of the foliage. That will protect it from the frost until such times as you come level with the pot. That is no good then. So then you would have to erect a horticultural fleece structure. Now, when I mean the structure, I normally have mine on poles or arches to ensure that the fleece doesn't touch the foliage, because even with fleece on and it touches, it can cause some burn if it's a hardy frost. So things are underway with the potatoes, which is always one of the first crops of the year. Now, the other sowings, which I'd done on the last day of February, and it was too late to mention, is I planted out my shallots. Now, I did this in a total of four rows, 10-foot long rows, 9 inches apart and 6 inches between the bulbs. Apart from that, I don't take exact measurements. Now, it's useful to have some kind of guidance, and I would have made a slight drill so I get a straight line, obviously in a 10-foot row, and ensure that the bulbs are in the ground and only the tips are covered, or uncovered, sorry, only the tips are uncovered. I protect them with metal grids, and that is purely because I do not want the cats to perform on that area of the garden, well, no part of the garden, but certainly not that area of the garden. But you will also need to look out for birds, because they may want to get the top of the bulb and yank it out from the ground. So every couple of days, just have a look. If one is loose, then put it back into the ground. Now, this year, the ground was of the consistency that I could just push the bulb into the ground. Some years I need a little help from a dibber to do so, but this year it was different. No 2 years are the same. I also took the opportunity to dig out the main trench of my bean trench, which it needed to be not sodden wet. It was just right. And I thought I would do it in 2 days. In other words, do an hour and a bit one day and then do it the following day, complete it. But as things happen, you get involved, and I did the whole lot. And what I did was dug two spades width and at about 7 or 8 inches or more deep through the soil to one side, and then layered the trench. And the trench is about 15, 20 feet long. And I layered it with paper and cardboard, watered that in, and then put some farmyard manure, which I had, plus some of my compost, which I had been emptying the bin, and mulched that in well, and then cover back with the soil that you took out. And then you may want to put a bit of granular fertilizer on, but you can do that later on, nearer the time to when you're going to be planting or sowing your runner beans. As I said, I completed emptying my bin of compost and put it not only in the bean trench, but all loosely down my borders, sides of the garden borders. You do not need to be precise. I was not precise. I just threw it on and let the worms or whatever do the business. They will drag some of it down, but other than that, it's just topping up the nutrients for the new season. In fact, I had altogether 14 bags for a dear friend to do her garden with. So it was actually a very good year for the compost making. I actually had to use the first protection of horticultural fleece in the greenhouse, because although I had my little delicates pricked out and in the comfort of the greenhouse, aphids can kill them off quite quickly as they're very, very young, even in undercover. So I just put a couple of sticks up and just threw some horticultural fleece over there so that it forms like a vacuum so that nothing is touching. The dahlias that I'd grown from my own seeds, which have come up very well, I hasten to add, that I pricked out, they're mixed in colour. I've got no idea what the colours are until they come out. And I put those into modular cells into the greenhouse, and they are really coming along a bundle. What I haven't done is the tubers that I'd saved and overwintered in my second greenhouse in cardboard boxes. I have yet to release them from their restraints of that confinement, which I shall do next month. And we'll see if we were successful in any buds appearing. And then they will need to come out into the light for putting into, if they are successful, they will go into large pots on my decking much, much later on. The mowing side of my lawns, whilst I did mow in February, I actually took the chance to cut a little bit lower and collect the cuttings. And I was able to put that into the compost. Now, I'm never a great one for putting a lot of grass cuttings into my compost. You do everything in a compost in layers, be it green or brown, but I never like to put too, because I have quite a bit of grass cuttings. I don't want to put too much in there. It can be quite slushy and, well, it can smell a little bit. If you've got enough of the other brown stuff to go into it, wood chippings, whatever, then fine. But I tend to put a lot of mine in my green bin. I've sowed varieties of carrots in a trough in the greenhouse. Always like to see if anything comes up from that trough, and they are appearing. It always seems to take a long time before that they're edible. It is always, in my opinion, better to put them outside and outside in the ground. But as you are a gardener, you want to see some early indications of life. I dug out the areas for the French beans, and I'm reducing from 7 wigwams this year, or from last year, from 7 to 2. I've decided I'm not growing as much this year. The freezer was, although I gave a lot away, the freezer was heaving with the produce, because you do not like to waste it. So I thought, no, I will not grow so much of that, although I will be growing a few other things that I hadn't grown in the past few years. Now, one of my favourite flowers or climbing plants is something called Morning Glory. Sow them from seed, my save seed, and I also had a packet of bought seed. And they climb up a trellis that I have at both greenhouses, and you can have little blue flowers with yellow centres or purple flowers. And they are prolific, and they just colour up the part of the greenhouse. Doesn't prevent light from going in, but they're just so reliable. So we've got quite a few of those on the go, if you will. The brassica area that I've identified to go in the garden, I've knocked down because it was winter dug, and now I've knocked down all the soil. You don't dig it over because you want it quite hard underneath, because that's how the plants grip and grow in trodden soil. A lot of the time you have to tread that area when you're planting anyway. So just knock down the clods that were hopefully, and they were, broken up to a certain extent by the frost. That's the idea of winter digging, to expand and contract with the frost. And so it becomes quite easy to knock down with a fork, and then you just leave it until such times as you're ready to plant out your brassica seedlings, which are not a long way yet, because I've only just planted the others, which are, or sowed the others in the greenhouse, again in modules, and I've done kale, purple sprouting, and Brussels sprouts. In fact, it wasn't so long ago that I started cutting the harvest of the purple sprouting, and it's still going. Once it starts, it's very, very vigorous. It's just a long, long growing season. More tomato plants, as we move through the month, were moved from modules, if you will, to their own individual pots. Now, providing they're kept warm and to a certain extent watered, that they should flourish. Now, this year, what I did, I put them, transferred them from their growing environment, small pots, to medium, and I put cutting compost in there because it's slightly heavier and will grip it more. Always like to experiment, and I think it will be beneficial. In late March, I prepared a seed bed because the weather was right. Well, not late March, mid to before the bad weather came along, and applied a granular fertilizer and blood, fish and bone, which is always my go-to helping hand enhancers. Watered it lightly, and I sowed two rows of carrots, one of radish and two of perpetual spinach. Now, prior to doing all that, I did take a temperature gauge of the soil, and it was okay, certainly for those particular crops. Now, it's not every crop requires the same temperature before you need to plant, but do not plant or sow when it is temperatures not right or it is wet and cold, because they will just rot into the ground. Hopefully this recent last couple of days hasn't done them any damage. Now, with the seedlings in the conservatory, I have three sides with glass, and seedlings will, by nature or anything, will always try to head towards the sun. So to avoid the bending and getting leggy, I erect A4 card with foil wrapped round and slip between the grit trays so that the light deflects back. So they get a little bit confused as to what's occurring. So they grow upright instead of leaning towards the sun. I use the same ones year after year. So it's not a problem. And it does seem to work. I dug an area, prepared, as with all other crops that you put in, and sowed parsnips. I've sowed three smallish rows. Again, they are a long in the ground crop. So I thought, well, I'll plant them now. They're earlier than last year, but they do stay in the ground until you require to eat them. So they will be there until such times. You can thin them. You have to be careful, but you can thin them. That is why it's always best to try to sow thinly. It's easier said than done. You can get seed dispensers, but I prefer to do it between my finger and thumb. And then you can move them depending on the size of the seeds. Some of them you can't. A carrot seed you would not be able to move like that, but you can move some seeds along if they're too close, but sow as thinly as possible. I took the opportunity of shading the greenhouse when I heard there was going to be some fine weather, and that was after about mid-March, and I thought, I've got the shading that I had from last year. I just added some water, gave it a good stir, added the remaining whitening element, and I was able to do what I wanted, which is mainly on the apex of the greenhouse. And I use a normal paintbrush. It's one I've used for years for the shed, and also use on a pole wrapped with tape, another brush, so that I don't need to get up on a ladder or anything like that, steps. I can use that to get to the highest parts, points of the greenhouse. And you don't have to be an artist. You just need to ensure that, that it is covered. And that will protect in the long run. It will stop everything being scorched. And not only do you do the tops, you have to do the sides, but you obviously know where the sun is the strongest during the day on your own particular plot. There's one side that I do pay attention to, but not as readily as the others, because it has a couple of trees around the side of it. But and as the temperatures rise, it's so, so important that you have ventilation in your greenhouse. So this time of year, I've been opening up the windows. Sometimes you've had to close them at night, but open up the windows. And then during the day, also you open up the door. No problem. So you have a through flow. And at night, you, as the nights get cold, you cool it down. It cools down, so you shut the windows and the door. And that's all that was done in March, Sue.
Okay, well, you've certainly been very, very busy, Trevor.
Yes, the weather's been kind, and if the sun's out and the sky is blue, you just want to be out into the garden, providing you can get on and do some other repair jobs. And I think I said last month, the sharpening tools and sorting tools. So you're still doing that as you go along, but it's difficult to quantify sometimes exactly what you do.
Okay, well, look, let's have a break now and then we'll come back in part two and you can tell us what your jobs are for the following months. Just bear with us, listeners. Welcome back to Trevor's Monthly Gardening Diary. And now Trevor is going to discuss what he's going to be doing for next month, which is the month of April, and tips for all you gardeners out there. So fire away, Trevor.
Okay, so and April comes along and the clocks have leapt forward, which is always a good thing for gardeners because you find yourself got an extra hour in the garden. And that was certainly very good last week. Now, one of the first things I'm going to do, hopefully if the ground is right, is to put in my onion sets. I prepped the ground. And then realised that when I was going to put them into the ground, that my purple sprouting was probably in the way. So I thought we'd delay that. I mean, onion sets, the normal period of putting them in is between mid-March and mid-April. So I've got plenty of time. So I prepped the ground, similar for the shallots. And when I put those in, they will be going in 4 inches apart. I've got two varieties, Sturon and I can't remember what the other one is, but I've got two varieties. Always like to have two to see how they compare. And I will have two 10-foot rows because they will be growing alongside the shallots. So hopefully I should be able to put those in soon. But as I said, the purple sprouting is so prolific at the moment, I've got to let that go to its conclusion. Shortly as well, I shall be putting in my second early potatoes. Now, these will be going into the main garden. I have yet to dig over that area, but I shall be. Again, the purple sprouting, because it takes a little bit of room, is in the way. But with the digging of the potatoes, they're not hungry for well dug soil, so I shall dig them, prep it, and I will make a little trench about three four inches deep and then lay the potatoes down about 12 inches apart. Roses, that's the eyes, I'll put those uppermost, and then we will cover one side with a draw hoe. And when you've done that and you've covered the potatoes, I tend to put a layer of or a sprinkling of general fertilizer along the top of the ridge and then go around the other side and draw up the earth from the other side so it's covered, and then water in slightly, not drench it or anything like that, water in slightly. That always seems to me to give it a good start, and then you just wait and see what happens. Beetroot, I'm going to sow those directly into the soil. I've got some in modules in the greenhouse and they're coming along nicely. So we're put, and I'm doing shorter rows this year. So I shall put a short row of beetroot in, and then following on from succession growing, I shall give it 2-3 weeks. I shall put another row of beetroot in. And that goes for other vegetable seeds that I will be putting directly into the garden about succession. One of the other ones I'm growing this year is going to be chard, and I've got two varieties of chard. One is a rainbow chard, which is obviously speaks for itself, which is multicolored, and the other one is a plain white and green leaf chard. And we will sow those a few weeks apart and we'll see what cometh of that. Apparently you can overwinter chard and then it kicks in again, but I've never done that. In fact, I grew a little bit of chard last year, but I haven't grown the pure white and green leafed one. When I'm growing my seeds, apart from preparing the seed bed with make a fine tithe and ensure you remove some of the bigger stones. No, we're not talking about absolute big ones because they shouldn't be there in the first place, but just rake it through to get some of the bigger stones and try to knock down any clumps of soil. And they might even be quite small clumps, but try to make it into a fine tilth. And I use a marker stick. It was my father's. He made it, varnished it, and it's every 3 inches, he's got a mark on it. So it's about 3 foot long, this marker stick. So, and it's all in the old measurements of inches, and it's been my guiding light for years. So I mark that out. I have a marking string that I put in one end, stretch it, and gives me a nice straight line, and then use a little hoe to go down that side of the string. And once I've done that, I water the drill so that whatever seeds you're putting in will get a good start with a little bit of dampness underneath them. And then with a rake, I draw the soil back over it and just knock it down with the back of the rake. So you've got the seed is making, like you do when you're sowing in pots and everything, making sure the seed makes contact with the soil. Depending on the type of vegetable, many will need to be thinned out when big enough. And that probably won't be until a little later on in the month, as we've only just started the season, really. And it's easier to do when they are young. And what it does, it allows more space for the crop to grow. So be careful. The one thing to be careful about is the carrots, because you do have, obviously, pests are a problem. And with carrots, you've got carrot fly. It is ideal, I understand, to do it with carrots thinning out probably more in the evening than it is any other time of the day. One of my favourite plants, and it's about to be harvested in the next couple of days, is rhubarb. Now, rhubarb doesn't need hardly any looking after apart from once it's all died back down late summer, autumn, you give it a good mulch with compost or even, well, I would say just compost. And it will overwinter readily, and you'll see those little green shoots coming out. You should divide them, or it is said that you should divide them every 5 or 6 years. Now, I haven't divided mine for over that time, whether it's a time matter or not, but the crop seems to be very good each year. So I can see at the moment the stalks are ready for pulling, and that's what you do. You pull the rhubarb stalk and you grip down near the bottom and you twist and pull. What you don't do is cut. You do not take a knife or whatever and cut a stalk, because that can lead to disease. So that you don't do that at all. You'll just put your hand down and just twist and pull. And the leaves are poisonous, so you don't want that. So I take mine to the compost heap, chop those off. That's fine for in the compost, and then clean it up down the bottom, and they're ready for whatever you want to do in the kitchen. I tend to stew mine, but that's my prerogative. But there will be plenty. What you don't want to do either is to take all stalks from one bunch, if you will. If you take one or two from one bunch and then another one or two from another bunch, then that is absolutely fine. But don't strip a bunch of all of its stalks. They will come back, they will form. Well, they don't come back, but they will form. Peonies are showing their heads at the moment, and they're growing quite quickly. I will wait until they're about another 6 inches taller. They're about 6 inches taller now, but another 6 inches taller, and then I will get the canes out of the shed, which I save every year. Get the canes out of the sheds. I've got 5 patches of peonies, to which on each patch I erect 5 canes, and I put 3 levels of string or twine around them. And this is to ensure that they stay within the boundaries of the canes, because they are quite heavy when they are in bloom. And they will topple over. And it always seems to me that when they're just coming out in bloom and they are big heads, that it starts getting windy. And that doesn't do them any favours either. But you can't do anything about that. But you can do something about them toppling over. So I will do that whilst the ground is quite moist and the canes will go in quite easily. I will erect that. I have got pink, 2 cut shades of red, a white and white blush. Now, the other year, I did put markers down to say which colours were which. But obviously, over the winter, they got wiped out. So I shall wait again and do it again this year once they start blooming. I think I've mentioned that when the peas are ready, I will put them out against the sticks that I've erected, the coppiced elder wood. Now, one thing also, another thing that is so very important when you're putting things out from the greenhouse is that they are hardened off. And what we mean by that is you allow the plants to acclimatise to the outside world, and you do it in stages. If you've got a cool, not a cool box, a little cool shelter, I've lost it there, little cools, you put them in there and then you cover them at night. If not, you just take the plants out during the day outside and put them back into the greenhouse at night. This allows them to acclimatize, and then once you've done it for a week, week and a half, they should be ready, providing the temperature hasn't dipped, of course, to that degree. They will be ready to be planted out into the ground. In fact, the word I was looking for was cold frame. Cold frame can be bought, or you can make your own. I made my own, set it on bricks, and have an old window frame over the top. And it does the trick, but it is so vital that you let them get used to outdoor conditions. And when all frost is past, I will move my sweet peas. And it might not be the end of the month, because we have been known to have a frost in May, although I'll probably take the risk and I can cover that, is I will put them outside in the main garden, in the pot. And I may actually train them up something else that I have, that I found the other day on top of my log shed. Now, the lawns next month, or as from tomorrow, during the month of April, I wish to feed and weed them. Now, I've got the granular formula. I've got that all ready to go, and I tend to broadcast it, which means I throw it out by hand, measuring out an area that it says on the instructions. And that gives me a guide, because the last thing you want to do is put too much on, or conversely, you don't want to put too little on. And once you've got an idea of what that measurement is, and they give you by the handful, if you wish to do it that method, I can then broadcast over the lawn evenly and let it do its work. Now, when we say let it do its work, they normally say within 48 hours, if it hasn't rained, then you need to water it yourself. I prefer to do it after 36 hours and not wait to that extra 12 hours. So the best time to do it is when rain is forecast 36 hours in the future. It does make a difference, obviously, with the, if you've got the moss killer as well in there, then it will blacken the moss, and you at some stage you will need to rake that out, because it's no good brushing it out. If you're mowing it out, you're just spreading the spores. So that's a job to do in April. Again, that is dependent on the weather. Hoeing, as the ground gets drier, to use the Dutch hoe, which is the push one, to give some air to the ground, because it's been compacted. You can either use a hoe if you've got vegetables in the garden, and when you're doing it between rows, or you use a little border fork to just loosen the soil so you can get the air in and breathe. And even with April, with the weather as it is, I will have my horticultural fleece at hand. I've got quite a bit over the years, because you have to put them out over the potatoes in the ground towards the end of the month, because as sure as whatever, you will have a frost when you least want it. So always have your horticultural fleece handy. And I will be erecting my two French bean wigwams. As I said previously, I prepped the ground. So I will erect the wigwams, and they're not as big as what you would have a runner bean wigwam. In fact, I'm not quite sure how wide they are. I think it's about 15 inches, probably 25 inches in diameter. So you go from one, and I don't make a circle. I just measure out in the four corner, in the four struts, and then put the canes in on those four and then fill in the gaps with canes and then bring it together with a bit of twine and wrap it round at the top. And at that time, I shall be sowing the French beans in the greenhouse. I do not sow into the ground. I sow them in the greenhouse in pots, as I've done with the peas. So there's quite a few beans to a pot. And after I've done that, because I like to see the French beans, once they've sprouted, I like to see those go into the ground prior to sowing my runner beans. Otherwise, you would have French beans and runner beans at the same time. So once they come through, I will then start erecting the runner bean row with canes, to which just recently I decided that it needed an overhaul. Some of them had been broken and they were getting misshaped. So a local garden centre again and purchased 20 canes at a reasonable price. I will put then sow the runner beans as per the French beans. So it's succession growing as well with vegetables in April. If you do it every 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, you should be okay. So that is when I start doing courgettes as well. Some of those are going to go into a potato bag. It's a big potato bag because I'm not growing so many potatoes this year. So it is a grow bag, but it isn't a grow bag as such. And I'll be potting on a lot of plants in the greenhouse. And that doesn't take time, but it's one of the key elements in April, certainly with tomatoes, when you're going from one pot to another pot to another pot. And then you decide that you've got so many tomatoes, you then want to give some away, but the last thing you want to do is to say, no, I want to grow them all. I've got four different varieties this year. I think I had five last year, but I haven't grown so much initially. So hopefully, if I can't give them away, then, well, I might have to just put them on the compost, because later on, when you're actually watering, feeding, it can, if you've not watched out, it can become a chore. Overwinter dahlias, they will get an airing, as I've mentioned before, so they will come out and we will see what we've got. If they've failed, I've got new ones coming along that will take their place. So it's all, lots of these things are experiments. There's radishes that will be going in, and I try to grow those literally every 2 weeks, because they do germinate very quickly. But once the warmer weather comes, if you don't water them daily, unless you have some rain, they will grow old very quickly. But more importantly, they go what they call woody, so they're unpleasant to eat. Radishes are best when they are young and well watered. Then they won't go woody. Then you can pick them. I was picking them straight out the ground last year, just wiping them down and eating them straight from the, as you say, from the garden. We'll be sowing chard. And when I'm growing some more carrots, I'm going to put some leeks in, because that, they are known, it's all right, succession, but it's a companion growing crop. And one thing, again, about leeks is that they do seem to deter carrot fly. And that is another problem we will have as we move from April into May, is slugs. Now, slugs are, according to one person over that I heard recently, we should welcome slugs into our garden. However, if they stopped eating my crops, then I probably would do. But there's a time and a place. Perhaps I should just put them all in the compost heap. And that's it, Sue, for what I think I'm going to do. But like anything else, what you think you're going to do in 1 month, A, other things come along that you forget about, and B, the weather interferes.
Yeah, okay, that's lovely, Trevor. Okay, well, we'll just go into another commercial break. And when we come back, we can discuss some listeners' questions. Thank you, Trevor. Welcome back to part three of Trevor's Monthly Gardening Diary. And Trevor's now going to go through some questions from listeners. Off you go, Trevor.
Yes, okay, so here we go. One of the first questions I was asked was, is it too late to sow shallots or plant out shallots? And the answer is no, but don't delay, because they will be obviously later in harvesting, more than likely, but they will not have benefited from a cold period during the early growth. And that is why it is recommended to put shallots in between mid-February to mid-March, because it is cold, probably not as cold as January, but it is cold, and they do benefit from that cold start. I have to say, mine are coming through. They don't all come up at the same time, as I well know. And I've got four or five different varieties, and they are spasmodic, shall I say. Maybe it wasn't cold enough at the right time. I don't know, but they are all showing a leg now. Now, moving on. Potting on, what compost to use, or do I use? Well, personally, I use multi-purpose. But what I do is I loosen it. I get the multi-purpose. I put it into a bucket, and I loosen it through my hands to make it more pliable. And then what I do is I add some horticultural grit and then mix all that up. I hasten to add, one of the first things I do if I am doing sowing and it's been cold and I've had a bag, because I normally have a bag inside the compost, inside the greenhouse, and a bag outside. If I have to bring that bag in, or I ensure that the bag that's been outside before I use it is brought in for about a week, so it warms up, because it can get obviously cold. So I warm it up, but I actually let it run through my fingers and put horticultural grit. It's certainly when you're potting on larger or the third stage, because what you don't want, you're trying to enhance some drainage there. Are garden centre veg plants any good? Well, yes, they are. I've always said that if you want to take the hard work out of growing vegetables, then you get them when they're like a plug plant or even a young plant. Because like a balloon, That is what germination is. The hardest part of growing anything is the germination. So the hardest part of blowing up a balloon is actually getting started, when your cheeks are really out and you're just trying to get that first oomph. So to avoid disappointment, because you'll go to a garden centre and they'll all be there, that nothing would have failed. They don't seem to have failures in garden centres, do they? But I recommend if you haven't got the time and you don't want that kind of effort, but you want the end result, then I suggest that is probably what you do. And different vegetables are, and you can get runner beans, and you can get about 15, 20 or 15 runner beans in modules in the garden centre. I don't know how much they cost, about £4, £3. I mean, you get more satisfaction doing it yourself, but certainly they are not too bad unless they are left and left. And then you'll see them mainly outside, and they will look unsightly if they have been left to, A, not watered, and B, just left to grow and get out of hand. So in general, they are fine.
Yeah, that's lovely, Trevor. Thank you very much indeed. You're obviously going to have a very busy month in April, and we very much look forward to talking with you the first Friday in May. In the meantime, do take care of yourself, won't you?
I will do indeed, and let's hope for some fine, dry, well, fine, warm weather.
Okay, thanks very much, Trevor. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.